This morning's message, as Pastor Stan mentioned, Receiving Christmas Joy. Pastor Stan.
Thank you, Darren. I wanted to say thank you to Elaine Wong and Donna Krantz for planning the Christmas program last night. And how many of you were here last night? Were able to check that out. Wasn't that great? Let's just say thank you and big mahalo to them. And a big mahalo to the performers who were the kids. So it's so wonderful to have them in our midst. And I don't know about if you've noticed something different about the sanctuary this morning. Did you notice anything different when you entered? Yeah? No? I don't know if the ushers noticed. We forgot to tell the ushers that there's no middle aisle. Okay, so that's a kind of our bad over there. Okay, so sorry, ushers. You had to kind of invent the way. So let me explain a little bit about that. If you look back there, you'll see that there is a projector. And that projector was really, really useful for the Christmas program, for the kids to look up there. But it's also helpful for the long term. And so this is kind of this probably is going to be a temporary thing, because we don't want you to walk into the projector thinking that there's an aisle there. Okay, so we'll see how that goes. Lord willing, we can mount it to the ceiling soon and see how that goes. But I hope anyway, we can keep it up for a while, at least until we can get it installed. So just wanted to let you know that. And what else? Oh, one other thing. If you have your bulletin, you see the flyer in there, please give this away. Give this away. You probably don't need it. You probably know what time and where our church is, the church service. So give this away to somebody that you know or a friend. And try not to have it just put on your refrigerator, okay? And that's intended to give away to people. So this has been updated to just show the Christmas service next week. And again, we're looking for a great time next week, and I hope you'll be there. One of the things that is always a little elusive is Christmas joy. It seems to be kind of elusive. I talk to people and ask them, so what is Christmas like for you? And it's like a informal survey that I take. Half of the people really enjoy it. I'd say at least half of the people find it some kind of a downtime, kind of a burden. And we can understand why, when everybody's rejoicing. It's supposed to be a happy time. But there are a lot of memories that we have. Lots of bad things happen in the world, in our lives. And chances are some of those bad things are going to happen in November and December. And when that happens and our souls feel the loss and the world around us is celebrating, everybody looks happy. And not that everybody is, but everybody kind of looks happy. And when we compare what we think the world is doing and what's in our inner reality, there's a mismatch there, and we sometimes feel sadder than we ought to. And so today I'd like to talk about Christmas joy, because Christmas joy is something that the angel said, I'm giving this to you. It's like a gift. Except how do we understand that gift? How do we receive it? I think it makes a big difference in our understanding what this joy is and how to receive that. So just real briefly, a lot of people sometimes go on a vacation and you expect a lot of joy on your vacation. And I'll tell you that sometimes the hotel is overbooked. That ever happened to you? Oh, maybe we feel good about our new car. And we're full of joy till we get that first dent. Yikes. Or maybe one moment we're enjoying the fragrant flowers. Isn't that just beautiful? And the next, we're eating the flowers. So what is joy? I mean, happiness seems to be sometimes really fleeting. Is that even something we should compare with happiness? We want to talk about joy today. What is it, and where does it come from? And on that first Christmas, the messenger angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. How can we receive this joy? That's our question for today. Today, let's rediscover how we can receive Christmas joy. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are the unchanging God. You are the everlasting God. You are there through thick and thin. And you say, Lord, I, the Lord, changed not. Yet, Lord, in our own experience, we waffle, we here and there, and our emotions are high, emotions are low. We have good times, we have bad times. We experience wonderful blessings, and we experience losses as well. Father, help us to understand how your joy can be permanently fixed in our lives through our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, in order to understand Christmas joy, let's quickly examine what the Bible talks about joy, how the Bible translates this word joy. Now, joy is not a Greek word, it's not a Hebrew word, and so it's a translated word. And so we really kind of have to go back to the Greek word and to understand where the source of this word joy comes from. And so let's take a look at the Greek word. The Greek word is chara. And it means gladness. It means rejoicefulness, if you will. It's the action of rejoicing over something. And this is the biblical kind of joy. It's sourced. The source of that joy is in something that is lasting. It does not shift with the circumstances of life. Now, our lives shift. And so the question for us is, how do we fix our eyes on things that don't shift? On that first Christmas, the angel did not say to be joyful. Isn't it really interesting? He didn't say to be joyful. He said, I bring you good news of great joy. So good news and great joy is really a response to the good news. So we want to talk about that. We find that joy, and the biblical joy, does not depend upon us. If it depended upon us, it would just shift as easily as last night's pizza is affecting us this morning. Or do I have indigestion this morning? Or how are my feet when I get out of bed? I was sharing with somebody how a while ago I started getting creaky feet. Somebody said, creaky feet? What is that? Yeah, it felt like my feet were just kind of crispy and crackly when I get up and get out of bed. And if my joy was depending upon my feet, I would not be joyful. But yet joy should be not dependent upon us, and it's eternal. It's not subject to our changing emotions. Joy is our response of appreciation, transcendent appreciation, something that is above, something that sees through the circumstances of life. So let's take a look at a few examples from Scripture. The Scripture says to rejoice and be glad because, for example, John 16:24 says to ask in Jesus' name and your joy will be complete. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. He did not say ask and your joy will be complete, or even ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. He said ask in my name. In other words, there's a presence of the Lord that's part of this formula. The Scripture also says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, let's fix our eyes on Jesus, who endured the cross for the joy set before him. He endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So here we see Jesus experiencing the joy that was just compelling him forward to even experiencing a cross, insults, mockery, beatings to death. Let's take a look at Philippians 4:4. The Apostle Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. We hear again, the presence of the Lord is part of this formula. How can we figure that out? We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But all of these things are things for which we can have a thankful response. We can appreciate God for the things that he's going to give us joy. So let's kind of reiterate this. Joy, biblical joy, is not dependent on you. It is eternal. It is not subject to emotions, and it prompts a response in us of transcendent, great appreciation. That is what the angel is talking about. Good news of great joy, great chara. That's where we want to go. So question here that we I think we have to ask is, why are we not joyful all the time? If we can kind of ask that question, find a few answers to that, then maybe we can take care of some things that will remove some of the obstacles to that joy that God has given us. And I do believe that it's a big part of this is that our minds are not constantly fixed on the joy that God has given us. The source does not change, but our minds change. We waffle here and there, and we shift like the wind, and we are easily distracted. So let's take a look at how we can have Christmas joy, receive Christmas joy this year. And I suggest four things. I suggest we look back. We look up. We look forward. And we look within. First of all, our joy and our thankful response to God, God's gift of Jesus Christ, His Son, we can have that thankful response, that joy, if we look back. We need to know that there's a deeper meaning to what we're looking around here, and all of these are, you know, wonderful things about Christmas. They're wonderful things, and hopefully, if you're like me, Christmas does lift me up. It might not lift all of you up, but we can look beyond that. In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, we find that the first Christmas was not just a birthday. Sometimes we're happy about a birthday, wonderful, but it was not just a birthday. The joy was not just that a baby was born. It wasn't even that just a Savior was born. Because what if the Savior came to save somebody else? But that the joy is that the Savior is born for you. The angel was very specific. He said, "This day unto you is born." Unto you is born. God's giving this gift of His child, and He's giving it to you. That's the good news. It's to you. And it prompts us to receive this joy. So we look all the way back. We can look even farther back than Christmas. And we can see that God has given us a whole plan, this whole thing that God has kind of worked step by step through the ages. Deuteronomy 18:15 says, "The Lord your God will raise you up a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites." In Isaiah 9:6, foretelling the arrival of Jesus Christ, Isaiah says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." This baby was given to us. So when we look back, we look at prophetic scripture and we see the speaking of the time God will enter the world. God's telling us this gift is coming. We look back and we see a lengthy record. When you look in the Bible and look at the beginning of Matthew and the beginning of Luke and many scriptures throughout interspersed, the beginning of John, it talks about the coming of Jesus Christ. I don't know how many other famous people there are whose birth was that important. Sometime later they were important, but God sending His Son into the world tells us it really happened. This thing really happened. It's awe-inspiring just to reflect upon that, even as I sit, and I sit and I have a little devotional in the morning, and I just think back, and I wish my mind could wrap my, I wish I could wrap my mind around this Christmas thing, and I can't. It's just beyond my mind. God's intervention into the world of humanity is anchored in history. And if you're finding your joy a little elusive, look back. When we look back, we understand that it really happened, and it really happened for you. Is your life in despair? Receive Christmas joy by looking back. see the deeper meaning of Christmas, the gift of Jesus entering our world. So first, we want to look back. Secondly, our thankful response to God's gift, that is, the joy that we can have, the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, we can receive Christmas joy if we look up. Look up. What I mean by that is more Jesus, less junk. Can you say that with me? More Jesus, less junk. Let's say that again. More Jesus, less junk. Okay, Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy. In the presence of God is like joy is at the maximum level. Isn't that awesome? Imagine that. In the presence of God, when we sense the presence of God, our joy is at maximum level. Philippians 4, the Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. And he says, I will say it again, rejoice. And as we take a look at Philippians 4, we see that at these scriptures, we see that Jesus broke into history and he's here now. Because he says, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. He didn't come and just leave. He came and he remains with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So what's the problem then? The problem is we're constantly distracted. If you're constantly distracted, raise your hand. I'm raising my hand. I'm always distracted. I always got to kind of reel in my mind. Come back, you know. You know, if you want to receive Christmas joy this year, look up, and here's a couple of thoughts. Start and end your day with God's eternal and transcendent Word. The Word of God. Anchor your faith. Anchor it back in. You may have been a Christian a long time. Sometimes you forget and you get a little loose and a little not as committed, not as diligent because you think, oh, I know all these facts and things like that. It's not about facts. It's about the presence of God. Allow the Word of God to just sit with you beginning of the day and end of the day. Decompress your spirit. For some of us, our spirit's compressed right from the beginning. Our alarm wakes us up and we're in stress already. Decompress first. Let your spirit breathe. Open your Bible to any of the Christmas stories and take a moment to just reflect on a short paragraph. Go through a little devotional like this. I'm doing this. I'm doing Bible as well as I'm doing this. And these things just help to open up our thoughts to the presence of God. It'll help you to receive Christmas joy. How about this? Limit radio and TV and social media. Okay, if you're really addicted to radio and TV and social media, that's just like swearing, Stan. Don't even talk about that. Okay, some of these things can be good if they edify you, if they build you up. Hey, more power to you. Praise the Lord. But the media often lets you look sideways. And you're looking horizontal. You're looking at the world around you, all the situations, all the bad news. What's going on in the political world nowadays? What's happening on the front page? And we fix our minds on that. Not much of that really leads us to Jesus. There's a slogan in the media. It says, if it bleeds, it leads. You know what they're trying to do, right? They're trying to grab your attention. And they're very good at it. Don't get caught in that. It steals joy. Psalm 103 says, God fills our lives with good things. He does. He fills our lives with good things. But do we see it? We tend to focus way too much on bad things. And I'm convinced that that media and the way news and things, information comes to us is so fast and so much that it's more than we were designed to handle. We were never designed to know everything going on in the world, and yet it's at our fingertips. We just need to know our limits and say, God, you run the world. Let me focus on your joy. Stay out of those kinds of controversial things and focus on Jesus. Thirdly, reduce unnecessary busyness. For most of us, Christmas is already a time that's busy. You don't need to pack in everything into your life. And it's not that busyness is bad in itself. There are seasons for all of us that we're going to be busy and seasons that we're downtime. But make sure at Christmas time that we're not packing in things so badly that Christmas becomes a negative thing for us. and our joy is stolen. This transcendent and eternal joy is always available, but you'll miss it if you're perpetually busy. So we can have and receive Christmas joy when we look back, when we look up, and when we look forward. Let's take a look at that. When we look forward, this is what Jesus did actually when he was on the cross, at the cross, facing the suffering that God had called him to. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What did Jesus do? He looked forward to something beyond the suffering. The suffering was not the end. We tend to get fixated on the suffering, don't we, when we're going through suffering. We kind of get stuck in the suffering. And we need to do what Jesus says. That scripture says, looking to Jesus. What did Jesus do? He looked beyond the suffering to the joy of being seated at the right hand of God. That's an awesome thing. The future is set before Jesus. And he looked past the betrayals, the mockery, the beatings, the trials, the torture, the crucifixion, death, burial, and even resurrection and exaltation. He looked to being at the Father's side. And when you look forward, you will receive what God has revealed to us that will happen in the future. What's in store for you? What is in store for you? A time when there's no death or mourning or crying or pain. A day where God will himself will be the light. His kingdom is described in the Bible in Revelation. That there is no need for sun and moon because God himself will be our light. What a glorious kingdom, full of life and devoid of evil. Now think about this. I just kind of compare these things. I hear this commercial on the radio about the International Star Registry. And they have a commercial that says, give the gift of eternal value. And you name a star after someone. I thought they were going to talk about Jesus. But then they say, name a star after someone. Sign up your loved one to register. I guess this star registry is going to be eternal. So at least they think so. But the idea of this, of course, is a star will outlast your lifetime. It's not dependent upon your life. And it's pretty cool to name a star after somebody, I have to say. But even cooler is that those who accept Jesus Christ into their lives have a joy that outlasts the stars. We can find Christmas joy, receive Christmas joy, and when we look back to the manger, when we look up to the presence of God, when we look forward to the eternal glory. And I'd like to consider one more thing, even greater than all of that. Imagine something or someone that will outlast the stars, and that is the living God. So the fourth thing for us to do to receive Christmas joy is to look within. To look within. And by looking within, I'm not talking about all the virtues that are in you. The Bible says, if we look at the heart of man, it is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? There's a darkness and blackness in our hearts. If we depended upon that, we wouldn't have any joy. I've been talking about the source of joy. A fixed reality that's not dependent upon us. But when you think about that joy that's not dependent upon us, it's eternal and fixed in eternity. And then God gives us the ability, the privilege of inviting that into our lives. We invite that into our life by inviting Lord Jesus Christ into our life. And we obtain 1, 2, and 3. We're looking forward, looking up, looking back. And we get all of that by accepting Jesus Christ into our life. And that is the culmination of Christmas joy. John 1, verses 11 and 12 says, he, Jesus Christ, came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So generally, people did not receive Jesus. Yet, read it with me. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. 1 John 5 tells us what that means. It says that this is the testimony. God has given us his Son, and this God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Brothers and sisters, eternal life is found in Jesus. And if you've received Jesus Christ, you already know that he lives in you. You already know that joy that pulls you through every situation. We can look back, we can look up, we can look forward to the glory to come. And the Apostle Paul rejoices in this incredible gift, and he says this about a marvelous mystery. Let's read this together. Ready? Go. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. With Jesus Christ in your life, you really need no look no further than his presence in your life. Before I invited Jesus into my life, I had lots of happiness. I was a happy guy. I went to the beach, hang around with my friends, play guitar, drinking, partying, nightclubs. I was happy. But frequently I'd come home. Before going to bed, I'd look up at the ceiling and say, is this all there is? After I invited Jesus into my life, his joy, nobody had to tell me this, but his joy, the joy of Jesus, made it easy to give up all the other kind of stuff that there was going on, the temporary sources of happiness. And I never looked back. If you have never received Jesus Christ into your life, that's the place to start. I'd like us to bow our heads now, and I'd like to invite you to receive Christmas joy. Let's pray together. Our Father, you've given us this joy. You've handed it to us. And Lord, you've also told us how we can have this joy. Lord, as the shepherds responded to this message, they said, let's check out this thing that the angel told us about. They believed the angel. They went and they were blessed when they saw the Lord Jesus, the baby Jesus. Lord, we want to have that kind of faith as well. Help us to restore and refresh our Christmas joy and receive that Christmas joy by looking back at something fixed in history. It really happened. Help us to look up to you who are exalted above all things and is present in our lives. Help us to look forward to the hope we have in Jesus Christ. And help us to look within to the very Lord living in us, Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have never received Jesus Christ before into your life, I'd like to lead you in a prayer to open up your heart to Jesus right now. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I have tried many different things. Many things have not brought joy, lasting joy. Lord Jesus, I don't want the joy to be out there. I want it to be in my heart, in here. And today, Lord, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ into my life. I want the joy that the good news brings. So, Father, I come before you humbly and receive Jesus into my life. I want to know him. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to find true meaning and joy and eternal life through Jesus Christ, who came into my world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.